Today's reading is from page 1219 in the Pew Bibles. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It's better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
And I thought, rather than talk, why not show? So, I need two volunteers. It can be any two volunteers. Okay, Gabriel, you can come and be one of my volunteers. Okay, and let's go for somebody over this. Let's go for somebody over this side. Anybody over here volunteering? I'm quite happy to just pick someone. I mean, I'm not fussed. Okay, yeah, we'll go with you then. Come on up, sir. And I'm just going to change microphones. Now, boys, you are going to help me demonstrate one way that things can become hard for us. So, what's your name?
Eli.
Eli, could you pick for me a number between 1 and 10? A number between 1 and 10. So you have 1, 2, 9. 9, that's a good number. Okay, Gabriel, I need you to come over this way. So, Gabriel, I need you to hold your hands out like this. Okay, nice and big. So, what Eli has done is Eli has picked a number of eggs that Gabriel is going to try and carry. So 1, 2, 3, 4, let's see if we can stack these nicely, 5, yeah, we can use your forearms a bit, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, right, well done. Now, out of the 10, you've got 9, which means, Eli, could you hold your hands out? Right, you get 1. Fantastic. Okay, there we go. So, now, boys, I'd like you to come and both come and stand here for me. That's it. Nice. There you go. You got it, Gabriel. Well done. Watch out for the drum. Okay, now, what you have to do is very simple. All I want you to do is to go to the back where Carly and Dave are standing. Hang on, wait. And then back up to me as quickly as you can. So it's kind of a race. But if you drop anything that you're carrying, you will be out of the race. Okay? So, are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. It's a race. You can run. There we go. And then back to me once you're there. Back this way. There we go. Oh, good work, Gabriel. Come on, Eli, go, 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 go. Oh, very good. Well done. Oh, Gabriel. Oh, you were doing so well. Oh, no. Oh, okay, that's it. Come back with those ones. That's fine. That's it. Excellent. There we go. Oh, look at this. A helping hand from Dave Chadwick. Thank you, David. Marvellous. Excellent. Well done. Okay, right. Gabriel, let's see if we can just dump all the eggs in here. Oh, nearly. Very good.
There you go.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh,
thank you, boys. You can go and have a seat. Thank you very much. So, that may have seemed a little bit silly. I mean, realistically, when do you do races with shaker eggs? But actually, it highlights that one of the main ways that things can become difficult for us is through the choices that we and other people make. Sometimes the choices that we make, we think, this is a good choice. This is going to benefit me. This is going to benefit some others. But it may have an adverse effect on another group of people. Sometimes when other people make decisions, we feel them and we think, why did you do that? That was such a silly thing to do. So our decisions are one of the main ways that actually we can make things either difficult for ourselves, say if we don't do something when we should. I'm very guilty of that. There's quite a lot of the time when I'm told I should do something and I think, I've got ages, I'll do it later. And then the later comes and there we go. Or we do things that we think, actually, these are quite good, but they end up hurting other people or just making things a lot more difficult. Like Gabriel being given 9 eggs because Eli chose the number 9. Now, to be fair, I didn't say why Eli was choosing a number, but sometimes we don't know whether our decisions are going to impact anyone else. But there is a second way also that things can become difficult for us. And actually, this isn't really something that we have any control over. It's not to do with us or the decisions we make. It's actually just that the world itself sometimes is just difficult. We don't live in a perfect world. Once upon a time, God said that everything in the Garden of Eden was very good, but then things went wrong, and so we no longer live in the place of Eden, and we don't yet live in the place of the new heaven and the new earth. We live in that in-between stage where actually things aren't always easy. In fact, most of the time, things are difficult. Things don't go our way. Bad things happen. And there's nothing that we can really do about it. Except, well, maybe there is. But I'm not going to spoil that for you, because I'm sure Claire is going to be talking about that in a little bit. But actually, our passage as well gives us those different things. So if we look at the very beginning of our passage, it talks about the choices that we make, and especially the choices that we make when faced with difficult or, as Peter says, evil situations. So I'm just going to read the very first bit of it again, and then actually we are going to have a song. But first of all, it says from verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So as we continue to think about those things that maybe are difficulties for us during this morning, the ways that hopefully we can encourage those who are going through difficulties, our next song sings about the fact that even though there are difficulties in our life, even though there will be hard times, actually God stands above all of those things, and that his love will always be there to carry us through those times and situations. So I ask you please to stand and join me as we sing our next song, Higher Than the Mountains That I Face.
Read the book of 1 Peter recently. I have. I was quite fortunate to do it in a Bible study recently. But he talks about suffering a lot. predominantly about suffering for being a Christian, living differently to the world, for choosing to repay evil with blessings, and to suffer for doing good. But he also puts our suffering into context with the death of Jesus Christ. We are told that doing right and our good behaviour will result in insult and slander. That's lies being told about us. And Jesus was killed not because he was a bad person, but because others were, including us. And one thing as well that the Bible does make very clear is that there will be evil. It says so throughout. We know there will be difficulties, and God definitely knows. I didn't pick a second reading today because the Bible is full of examples of people and situations where people are in difficulty. Right from the start with Adam and Eve, the moment they eat that forbidden fruit, right through to the promises in Revelation that there will be no more tears and no more pain in God's kingdom. Our verse today doesn't say what these difficulties will be, but we see a range, don't we, in our lives. In England, we're very lucky. We have freedom of speech. We can believe what we want. We're free to do that. And actually, we live in what is deemed as a Christian country. But still, we're picked on at school. We get missed off of invites due to the way that we choose to live our life. We're laughed at or ignored. Or we're put in uncomfortable situations when our friends want us to do something that we're uncomfortable with and we don't think it's right. Of course, in other countries, it's a lot more extreme. And throughout history, and even today, people are killed for their faith. But Peter tells us to be the change. We are called to be a blessing. Rather than revenge, we can do good and seek peace. We're told it's better to suffer for doing good than doing evil. This seems really obvious, but it's not always what we want to do. It's definitely more satisfying, especially in our minds at least, to respond with an attack in the things that we do or the words that we say when others have caused us to suffer. I was just wondering, especially you children, if your brother or sister or one of your friends at school does something nasty to you, do you actually respond by doing something nice for them? Oh, you do? Oh, well done. I don't think I was particularly very good at that as a child. But instead of mean words or a nasty reply, Peter tells us that we should be prepared to give a response as to why we are hopeful. And actually, it's a brilliant opportunity to share the good news. And this is something that we can think of in advance, so we're not caught off guard, panic and embarrass ourselves. So what I'm going to do now is, you've all sat so nicely so far, I'm going to give you just a minute, just to talk with the person next to you about what you might give in response when somebody says something cruel to you about what they think of you being a Christian. So just maybe now think about what a response could be as to why you have hope. I realise that wasn't enough time, but hopefully it's maybe got you thinking about you can be prepared in the future to have a good response that shares why you are hopeful. Now, one of the favourite reasons for people to attack our faith is around difficulties. It's hard to believe that God is there, or even real, when life can hurt us so much. So what is the answer? What does God think of our difficulties in our lives and the lives of those that don't believe in him? Firstly, God knows difficulties personally. He has been there. He is there. He will be there. God hurts when he sees his children hurting. That's us. And of course, his one and only perfect son, Jesus Christ, was persecuted and killed. The difficulties that Jesus endured here were to save us from our sins. The difficulties we face might not be quite so severe, but it could lead others to Christ. Maybe one of you has been very ill or experienced loss in your life. It hurts, maybe for a really long time, but you heal by the grace of God. Someone else might go through the same thing, through the same situation that you've been in, and come out the other side. You can stand or sit or cry with them. A brilliant picture of God working in our lives, especially during hard times, is the image of God weaving a beautiful tapestry. On this side of heaven, though, we only see the back. I was hoping to have an example, but
funnily enough, I don't really have any tapestries. But if you look behind a tapestry or something sort of that needlecraft genre, you'll see that the back is usually a mess. That's quite often why they're lined, because it's just knots and tangles and you can't see what the picture is. It's definitely a mess. But if we could turn the tapestry over, which with a real tapestry you can, you see a beautiful picture. And if we could turn over God's tapestry, we would see that God is doing something beautiful. But we live on this side with painful circumstances and God's purpose is unclear. Think now of how this is true in your own life. When have you struggled to see what God is doing? How have you struggled to believe that he is weaving anything but something beautiful? A lot of you, I think, will be or have been in a home group, and something that we do every week is share with each other the difficult situations in life and the frustrations of staring at the ugly side of the tapestry. I'm sure someone you care about has shared a difficult time in life when it's hard to trust God or to see what he's doing. And there are definitely temptations in these moments. We see the back of the tapestry, and we like to encourage by speculating as to what beautiful thing God is doing. It's nice to suggest hopeful outcomes, to write our own endings to God's story. But this isn't actually very helpful, because we don't know what for sure God is doing, even if we think we do. It implies that what we need to trust God is to understand what he is doing, where this part of the story fits into the overall picture. God says the answer is to know and trust the weaver, to know and trust that he is making something beautiful, that he is a God who redeems and restores even the most broken and hopeless situation. So let's not tell our friend that their struggles are part of God's greater plan and that it will sort itself out and it will have a beautiful outcome. Instead, when we see those messy knots and tangles of the tapestry, we can love them by reminding them who God is, that he can be trusted, and how much he understands their pain because he has experienced himself on the cross. I'll round this off by a poem. I think it's of unknown origin, but it was popularised by Corrie ten Boom. It says, "My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colours. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives his very best to those who leave the choice with him." I said before that when we try to write our own endings to God's story, we are failing to trust in him. We come now to our time of confession, to think back through the week when we haven't trusted God, when we've sinned by trying to do things our own way. I'm going to read out the confession, and I'd like you to respond with me. When I say, "Lord, forgive us," please respond, "Christ, have mercy." Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess we have failed you, as did your first disciples. We ask for your mercy and your help. Our selfishness betrays you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We fail to share the pain of your suffering. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We run away from those who abuse you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We are afraid of being known to belong to you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy.
So may the Father forgive us by the death of his Son and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all our days. Amen.